Thanks so much for listening to Ask Me Another. I've got a special request this week. Snap Judgment with Glenn Washington is one of NPR's most popular podcasts, and they're raising money to keep the stories coming. If you know this podcast, you know it is such compelling, great stories. Stories like what happened when you take a regular person and you back them up against a wall, and that moment where everything you count on just disappears. If Snap has become a favorite of yours, or you've maybe even shared a Snap story, step up right now and support NPR storytelling with a beat. You can make a contribution now at snapjudgment.org. And thank you.
Warning. The following content has been deemed inappropriate for the radio. It may also be inappropriate for children, offices, or sensitive grandparents.
From NPR and WNYC, live from the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York, this is NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. And I'm your host, Ophira Eisenberg. So this week's VIP has one of the most distinctive voices in showbiz, and he's known for a legendary telling of the famous dirty joke, The Aristocrats. It's Gilbert Gottfried. Now, if you don't know that joke, the premise is that a family walks into a talent agency and auditions with their act. And what their act is a collection of the most depraved, vulgar, obscene things that you can come up with. I would love to perform it, but it would clearly never get past legal. But let's just say in public radio speak, the man drops his pants while misquoting Maya Angelou. And then they have wild sex without discussing their feelings before, during, or after. Let's say hello now to the man who is always a class act, our one-man house band, Jonathan Coulton.
Hello.
Our first game is called The Big Score, and even though soccer is gaining popularity, some Americans still can't muster up much enthusiasm for it. So we're going to take a lesson in passion from the soccer announcer, Andres Cantor. If you don't know him, he's this guy. Goal!
It's a nice set of pipes, Ophira.
Thanks. Let's welcome our first two contestants, Ashley Parks and Max Ash. Ashley, Max, what is your main goal in life?
I would probably have to say, I hope Jonathan will write me a song.
That's your main goal? That's your primary goal?
Well, it might be the secondary. I'd really love to be on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and I see this as sort of a launching pad.
I'll be totally honest, Ashley. You had me, and then you lost me.
Max?
I would like to do just anything in comedy, like a comedian, writer, actor, anything, really.
All right, I feel like both your goals are unattainable. No, that sounds totally great. Okay, so what's going to go on here? You don't have to know anything about sports in this
great
game. You just have to know how to yell. We're going to give you a clue to a word or a name that has the sound go in it, and you have to answer with the zeal of Andres Cantor. And the winner will move on to the World Cup of Trivia, known as the Ask Me One More Final Round at the end of the show. Are you ready?
Yep.
Books written by celebrities often have this kind of uncredited co-author. Ashley.
Oh, go biographer?
Max.
Ghost Rider?
Yes, that is correct. Okay, so, yeah, you can't just throw go into any word.
I understand the rules
okay,
now.
Good, good.
You know what,
that was a test question.
That was a test question.
It was a good learning moment. Ashley took one for the team, and now we can move on and have the game. Thank you, Ashley.
This French appetizer is typically made from snails cooked in garlic and butter. Max.
Escargot!
It's kind of fun yelling go to a snail.
It's awesome.
This actor is best known for playing Detective Fish on the 70s sitcom Barney Miller. And the grandfather in Look Who's Talking. Any ideas? Let's go to our puzzle guru, Greg Pliska, and see if we have a hint that you might be able to help other contestants with.
I'm not sure the hint is any easier than question. He also played Sal Tessio in The Godfather, and his death was twice misreported in the 80s, leading to a series of running gags about whether he was dead or alive.
Max.
Abe Vigoda!
Yes!
There's a website called isabevigodadead.com.
Yeah.
And
you frequent that.
Yeah. Right now it just says no.
It's like the easiest website to update. This large, very dry region in Asia covers parts of northern China and southern Mongolia. Max.
What is the Gobi Desert?
Could you answer it not in a question?
I'm sorry, Alex. Gobi Desert.
That was right. That was correct. The last leader of the Soviet Union, he was known for glasnost, perestroika, and a port wine stain. Okay, let's start with this part. The last leader of the Soviet Union. Max.
Oh, no. Gorbachev.
Yes. Yeah. In a 2012 British Film Institute poll, this Hitchcock movie starring Jimmy Stewart and Kim Novak was named the greatest film of all time. Puzzle guru Greg Pliska, can you give these fine people
a hint?
It's
also the name of a condition where you get dizzy, you feel like you're falling.
Max.
Vertigo!
And that's how it feels to have it. Yes, that is correct. Puzzle guru Greg Pliska, how did our contestants do?
Well, I have to say, Max, you are going to go to the final round at the end of the show. I was just going to say, I know that Ashley actually knew all the answers. She just didn't want to have to yell, go.
I don't blame her. Max looks like an idiot right now.
Let's welcome our next two contestants, Liz Rosen and Daniel Percorrero. Now we have an excellent match here. Liz, you are joining us from Herndon, Virginia, is that right?
Yes.
And in Herndon, Virginia, she runs not one, but two weekly trivia nights.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic. Dan has a podcast called the Thursday Trivia Podcast. This is Trivia Intensity.
Couple of ringers.
So since you both write trivia constantly, why don't you share with us a recent trivia tidbit or maybe a clue you've written that you were really proud of. Liz?
Well, one question I wrote for last night's game that I just think is a good little piece of recent news is that the first woman won the International Fields Medal, Miriam Mizrakhani.
Oh, yeah.
Mine is less topical, at least in the Wisconsin State Senate. They passed a resolution declaring a state bacterium. It was the bacterium used to age cheese. Age cheddar cheese.
Finally. Okay, so you know about stuff that's going on now, so this will be a treat.
Yes, and in this round, we are going to hop into our time machine. Not really, that's just a metaphor. And go back to the year 1914. Why that year? Because we found a 1914 World Almanac. And we don't have the budget to buy any newer almanacs. So we said, hey, why not make a game out of this? We're going to ask you some questions that you must answer from the vantage point of 1914. Greg Pliska, how about an example?
If I said this massive feat of engineering was finally completed this year and the steamship SS Ancone became the first vessel to pass through it, you would answer the Panama Canal.
Please answer quickly because I don't want to get stuck here in 1914. The Wi-Fi is very hard to find. Also, World War I. Here we go. How many stars are on the American flag? Daniel.
47.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Liz?
46.
Also incorrect.
Oh, so close.
Does anybody know the answer?
48.
48 is right.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Once available in red, blue, green, and gray, but now available only in black, this car is on its way to becoming one of the best-selling vehicles of all time. Daniel.
Model T.
That is correct, the Ford Model T. Debuting this year to disappointing sales, the new book, Dubliners, is a collection of short stories by this author. Daniel.
James Joyce.
That is correct, James Joyce. Which is amazing. I mean, disappointing book sales in 1914. Like, wait till he sees 2014. That 1914 was a dream.
Thanks to the campaigning of Anna Jarvis, President Wilson recently declared that the first Sunday of each May will be recognized as what national holiday? Daniel.
Law Day?
No, I'm sorry. Liz.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, yes, is the right answer.
Actually, in some houses, Mother's Day is Law Day.
Just learned a lot about your family. Added to the U.S. Constitution just last year, the 17th Amendment provides for the direct election of what lawmakers? Daniel.
Senators.
That is correct. Finally, doctors here in 1914 are reporting a rash of people being seriously injured by exploding what? Is it A, golf balls, B, soda bottles, or C, pickle barrels? Daniel.
Pickle barrels.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. All right, Liz, do you want to steal?
I'm going to go with soda bottles.
If only.
It was golf balls?
Golf balls.
Oh, my God. Seems unlikely, I know.
Yeah, I know.
Although that one was obvious.
It was 1914. Things were different back then.
Before you could put an egg in a microwave, you know, they had to explode something. It was because they put, like, a compressed liquid in the golf balls. And then they were like, oh, that's a bad idea. And they stopped doing that.
Don't hit those.
Puzzle guru Greg Pliska. How did the contestants do?
Daniel is the winner, and Daniel, we'll see you in our final round at the end of the show.
Coming up, we'll give Chuck Berry a run for his money, and if you have a line that you need crossed, we have the comedian for you. Gilbert Gottfried will be joining us later in the show, so stick around. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is NPR's Ask Me Another. Ask Me Another is supported by Stamps.com. So, you know, if you own a small business and you're the boss, that's great, but it also means that you have to do everything. Like, you have to be the person that stands in line at the post office behind all these people with huge packages and passport applications. Is that a good use of your time? No, there is a better way. Stamps.com. Stamps.com lets you buy and print real U.S. postage right from your desk. It's so cool. You just use your own computer and printer. Super easy. So check out stamps.com for a no-risk trial and free postage offer. Click on the microphone on the homepage and enter AMA. Stamps.com, enter AMA, and thanks for supporting one of our supporters. I was having this discussion in a taxi heading downtown. You're listening to Ask Me Another from NPR and WNYC. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and with me is our one-man house band, Jonathan Colton, and our puzzle guru, Greg Pliska. Please welcome our contestants, Jillian Schrager and Andrew Watterson. Jillian is visiting us from Ann Arbor.
That's true.
And Andrew from San Francisco. Welcome to you both. So, Jillian, you've spent some time living in the wilderness.
Can you elaborate on that for me?
I did in college. I was on a 3-month semester-long wilderness course with Outward Bound.
Oh, and what did you have at your disposal? Everything that you could carry on your back, or?
Yeah, not many major comforts. They sort of like to keep you off balance, so you're challenged.
So you're challenged?
Yeah.
What was a highlight?
Oh, man, I saw the Northern Lights in Minnesota. That was gorgeous.
Yes. I'm from Canada. I've seen them a couple times. They're kind of amazing. They make you believe maybe there's something else other than you. Andrew, recently you drove across America?
Yes.
How long did it take you?
35 days, I think. 7 weeks, or 5 weeks, yeah.
5 weeks? Nice. Any highlights from that trip?
So I had a 28-year-old Volkswagen van, which I knew was going to break down before we left.
Yeah.
And then it broke down, like, sure, in the first week in Nowheresville, Nevada. And so we got it towed away, and I was just like, oh, man, like, I don't know, you know, like, what are the people around here like? And I get in the tow truck, and the guy's like, so are you religious? And I'm sitting there next to my boyfriend, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to go downhill so quickly. And in his defense, he actually ended up being really chill about it, and I appreciated that. After he asked me if I was saved about 15 minutes later, and I said no, he dropped the whole thing for the rest of the trip. But yeah.
But he still helped you out.
Religious tow truck driver.
Yeah. Don't worry, he's praying for you. So this game is called Go Johnny Go, so let's go Johnny Colton.
Yes, I'm going. Here I go. We've taken the Chuck Berry classic Johnny Be Good and rewritten the lyrics to be about other famous guys named John. All you need to do is ring in and tell us the name of each John. But, of course, we would appreciate it if you sang it, as in, go, 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 John Legend, go. Are you ready?
I guess.
At least you don't have to go, go, because that's those people looked really dumb. You guys are going to look great.
This will be better.
Yeah, this will be
go!
Much better.
John Legend, go.
Yeah.
You mix up the games.
Okay, here we go. You've probably seen a lot of movies this John scored. He's been nominated for more Oscar awards than any other human who's alive today. He did Close Encounters, he did JFK. Not to mention Star Wars and Jurassic Park, and a very famous film about a great white shark. Now go! Andrew?
Go, 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 John Williams, go!
Yeah!
Nice voice!
See?
Thank you.
You look like a boss. Fantastic work, Andrew. Here we go.
Here's a John who has a thing in common with pigs. He plays a big-time smoker into Lucky Strike Six. You need an advertisement and have money to burn. His character's an expert, so just listen and learn. He hosted Saturday Night Live and hosted again. He's often on the list of all the sexiest men. Now go!
Now go!
Yeah, Andrew.
This is a total guess. Go, 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 John Belushi, go!
Was he on the list of the sexiest men?
He was probably very low down on the list.
I think he died before I was born.
No, we're not looking for John Belushi. Jillian, do you have a guess?
Go, go, John Travolta, go.
No, I'm sorry, that is also incorrect, although he is quite sexy.
He used to be.
who knows the answer? John Hamm.
Oh. In common with pigs, I get it.
Something in common with pigs, yeah. That's
I get not... it.
That line was never going to be any help to anyone. I knew that.
From Seoul in South Korea, this John traveled far. You probably recognize him as the friend of Kumar. The character he played was named Harold Lee, a stoned investment banker from New Jersey. He also had a role in American Pie. He called Stifler's Mama MILF.
Yeah, it's that guy. Jillian.
Go, go, John Choi, go.
Yeah, you got it.
This one. All right.
This John died very young at only 25, but published odes and poems while he was still alive. A British romantic fella through and through. From Byron and from Shelley learned a thing or two. Where would we be without beauty's truth? Truth is beauty, ah, fair youth. Now go.
Andrew?
Go, 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 John Keats, go.
That's right.
He's a fool. girl from way back in the day. Helped her build the rails across the USA. Steel driving through the mountains was the name of the game. Blasting out the tunnels for the railroad trains. But then one day Big John tried to race her the hill. He proved that he was faster than a steam-powered drill. Now go!
Jillian?
Go, go, John Henry, go!
Yeah, you got it.
I kind of want to see Man versus Drill on Discovery or something like that. Wouldn't that be an awesome
show? I'm sure
it's
in development.
Yeah, I know. Someone's working on that.
All right, this is your last clue.
This U.S. president was an honorable man. A lawyer lived in Boston, not a Redcoat fan. Still, he defended them in a famous trial. He finally won the case. They were acquitted in style. The vice president under Washington. But when he was the president, he only got one term as a one-term president.
Jillian.
Go, go, John Adams, go.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well done, Greg. Who won that one?
I have to say, Jillian is our winner, and you'll be going to the final round.
And here are our next contestants, Kim Macnick and Jason Wallace.
Hello.
All right, this is an amazing little fun fact about Kim. You are synesthetic.
Yes, I am.
Yes, in what sense?
I hear colors.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's like being on drugs all the time.
Oh, yeah. So when did you first realize that you had this power?
Oh, we're going for the nerdy, are we? So I was in an a cappella group.
We're going for the nerdy. Do you know where you are?
I was in an a cappella group, and I kept saying, let's do the blue song, guys. Come on, let's do the blue song. And I'm like, you know, 19 or 20, and everybody's looking at me like I have four heads. Like, the blue song,
yeah.
Crazy person. And one of the girls in the group was like, oh, you have synesthesia. And so it turns out that not everybody knows that 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover by Paul Simon is blue. But I did, and so that's how I figured out that the world is not quite as colorful for everyone else.
Wow. Okay, so what color is our show?
Well, it depends. I mean, different
black.
Voices, different music.
Blue, but red.
Sometimes, you know, like ultramarine. You never know.
Ultramarine? I like you. Jason?
Yes?
How about a fun fact?
I don't know if I can top that.
I'm sure you can.
I guess I probably know more song lyrics and movie lines than anybody humanly should know.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a useful superpower.
That is a useful... I mean, not in the game
only
we're about to play,
only on Name That
but...
Tune.
And you just love gathering that kind of trivia, always been interested even as a child?
Pretty much. Ever since I was like maybe five, I'd watch the same movie over and over again, over again. That way I would memorize the lines.
Yeah, so what was the first movie that you did that with?
The Karate Kid.
Ah, nice. All right.
The original.
The original, sorry. Yeah, I mean, come on.
There's only one, really.
What's the last line of The Karate Kid?
Finish him!
So this game is called Everything But the Why, which I'm told is a game showcasing super vocalics. That sounds like some word nerd stuff, so I'm going to pass it over to you, puzzle guru Greg Pliska. Explain what this is.
Well, I will. I'm shocked everyone doesn't know about super vocalics already. A super vocalic is a word that includes one instance of each of the five vowels, A, E, I, O, and U, in any order. And in this case, it does not include Y. So, for example, if I said a handheld drum with jingles around the rim, you'd say tambourine, because tambourine contains each of the vowels only once. Jason's thinking, why weren't we doing the last lines game?
All right, let's give this a shot. This is a tree genus that includes some of the tallest living things on Earth and is also a model of Toyota SUV. Kim.
Sequoia?
Yes. I am Groot. Medical procedures that might be performed by a coroner. Jason.
Autopsy.
Medical procedures. Medical procedures.
Autopsies?
Yeah. We'll give it to you. The opposite end of the spectrum from infrared.
Ultramarine? No, that's
Kim,
wrong.
That is not the sound we were looking for. Jason.
Ultraviolet.
Ultraviolet. That is what we were looking for.
I psyched myself out.
I know. That's sometimes when you have too much knowledge, right? Sometimes it's hard. I wouldn't know, but for other people. Mark Twain called this vegetable a cabbage with a college education. Kim.
Cauliflower?
Yes. This word describes someone with a handlebar, a Fu Manchu, or a walrus-like growth of hair on his or her upper lip. Jason.
Mustache.
No, it's in that world. Kim?
Mustachioed.
Mustachioed!
Oh. You had it.
This is your last question. In a 1957 hit song and movie, it's the kind of rock done by Elvis Presley. Jason.
Jailhouse Rock.
Correct! I'm going to find out the scores from Greg Pliska in 1 second, but I just have to say, you guys kind of rocked that game. That was a hard game. Amazing. Puzzle Guru Greg Pliska, how did our fine smart contestants do?
They rocked the game, and they rocked it equally. We have a tie. So I have for you, Kim and Jason, a tiebreaker question about another super vocalic. A conversation between two people. Kim?
Dialogue?
That is correct. You are our winner. So, well done, Kim. You'll be moving on to the Ask Me One More final round at the end of our show.
Listen to Ask Me Another and ask yourself, why isn't that me answering questions? Well, it can be. If you want to join us on the phone or right here on stage, just send us an email at askmeanother@npr.org. Let's meet our next two contestants, Dave Moore and Amanda Clegg-Lyon. Amanda, Dave, here's your task. Give me one highbrow thing that you love and one lowbrow thing that you love. Amanda.
Well, I work in theater, so I think Shakespeare plays would probably qualify for the highbrow.
Perfecto.
And then lowbrow, I have a sad tendency toward bad teen television of my era, like Dawson's Creek and Felicity, and nowadays Pretty Little Liars.
I think you'll have a lot of people that are like, I find that highbrow. How about you, Dave?
I like to read a lot, and so I say reading would be my highbrow.
That is hilarious. Okay.
This is going to be easy.
No, I like it.
For lowbrow, porn.
Some of that Shakespeare porn, though, that stuff is classic.
Yeah, enjoy that yourself.
Anyways, let's move it on. This game is called Cultured Film Quotes. Not cult, cultured. Hollywood gets accused of producing blockbusters with no redeeming value, so we've added some much-needed high culture. Each answer is a quote from a well-known movie, but one word has been replaced with the name of a famous historical figure. So, you're fucked. Puzzle Guru Greg Pliska, we need an example.
Of course. If I said, the Terminator offers to take on the identity of the German composer famous for the Brandenburg Concertos, the answer would be, I'll be Bach.
Yeah, that's right. That's the correct response.
Yeah, You see how it is.
So it's a little punny. There's kind of it's kind of a mashup of things. Feel free to talk it out. It's just funnier for everybody.
Yeah.
Let's get started. A lovable alien stranded on Earth announces that he would like to make a call to the ancient Greek author of the Iliad and the Odyssey. Amanda.
E.T. phone Homer.
You got it.
Sports agent Jerry Maguire screams into the phone, begging his client to give him a private viewing of the Impressionist paintings from the Water Lily series. Amanda.
Show me the Monet.
Exactly. Said like an aggressive art collector.
Psychotic taxi driver Travis Bickle asks his reflection in the mirror if he's conversing with the anthropologist who wrote Coming of Age in Samoa. Dave.
Are you talking to Mead?
That's right.
In this scene from Apocalypse Now, Lieutenant Colonel Kilgore confesses his fondness for the aroma of the French military leader who lost at Waterloo. Dave.
I love the smell of Napoleon in the morning.
Yes! Napoleon should dry clean that uniform already, but that is correct.
He's at war.
He's at war.
He's at war. What are you going to do? This is your last clue. As he walks out the door, Rhett Butler bluntly tells the founding father who published Poor Richard's Almanac that he just doesn't care. Dave.
Ben Franklin, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Exactly. Greg Pliska, who won that game?
Thank you both, and congratulations, Dave. You'll be moving on to the final round at the end of the show.
That was the crazy game. That was the crazy game. Coming up, we'll talk with our VIP, Gilbert Gottfried, and see if we can get him to whisper sweet nothings into our ear. So stay tuned for that. This is NPR's Ask Me Another.
Ask Me Another is supported by The Great Courses. It's engaging video and audio lectures presented by top professors for people like you. People who love to learn. So they're courses that are great. Watch or listen to fascinating lectures in over 500 topics without the pressure of exams. So no more recurring nightmares, just brand new subjects waiting for you to soak up. For a limited time, The Great Courses is offering up to 80% off a selection of their best-selling courses, including The Everyday Gourmet, developed in partnership with the Culinary Institute of America. So check it out. Go to thegreatcourses.com/ask. Welcome back to Ask Me Another, NPR and WNYC's Hour of Trivia, Puzzles, and Word Games. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and our VIP, you know him from the Comedy Central roasts. He's the voice of the parrot Iago in Aladdin. He's appeared on dozens of reality competitions and, of course, is known for a famous telling of the Aristocrats. Please welcome comedian Gilbert Gottfried. Welcome to Ask Me Another. Your first stand-up act was when you were 15 years old. At what club?
I was at the Bitter End.
Oh, yeah. And was it a comedy night?
It was called Hootenanny Night. And it was like you just sign your name there and whatever you did. If you did sword swap, most of them were folk singers.
15-year-old Gilbert Gottfried, and what was your act like?
I did mainly impressions.
Okay.
It's like Boris Karloff and Humphrey Bogart. Even back then, my act was dated.
But you've made a name for yourself as a comedian who, you know, pushes the envelope, crosses the line, says the things that shouldn't be said. And so do you think that, like, you've been doing comedy for, whatever, 4 decades. Are people more sensitive now than they were, you know, in the 80s, let's say?
Well, nowadays I feel like every joke should come with a set of instructions. That, like, if you think the joke is funny, laugh. And if you don't think the joke is funny, don't laugh.
Right.
You know, it's gotten a little crazy. Now when you say a joke, you have to apologize right afterwards.
And do you think comedians should apologize?
No. I think an audience, like when they go to a horror movie or get on a roller coaster, they want that feeling like they're going to die and then get off and everything's okay. And I think when they see a comic, they want to feel like something bad could happen. And with me, something bad is happening because they spent money to see me. When they say, ladies and gentlemen, Gilbert Gottfried, they'll go, well, that's a bad thing. This can't be good.
Too soon that, you know, the idea of saying a joke, making a joke right after a tragedy, you have done that quite often. Do you think any material is off limits?
No. Yeah, I just do it. Every time something pops in my head, I think twice about it, and I do it anyway.
So let's talk about a moment that was partially caught on television and then lives forever on the internet. And, of course, everyone in the audience that was there enjoyed it. You were doing a roast of Hugh Hefner. And why don't you explain to us, I'll let you tell the story of what happened.
Well, it was a few days after September 11th, and they were originally going to cancel the roast. And everyone was scared. A lot of people canceled their flights coming into New York. And it was just a couple of days, and there was black smoke still floating in the air, and I decided I'm going to go up there and be the first one to do a really poor taste. So I said, I have to leave early tonight. I have to catch a flight to L.A. I couldn't get a direct flight. We have to make a stop at the Empire State Building.
And
that got boos and hisses, and people were yelling stuff out, and people were getting up to leave, and one guy yelled out too soon, which I thought meant I didn't take a long enough pause between the setup and the punchline. I should have said 1, 2, 3, Empire State Building, and then it would have worked better. My timing was off.
Now, you've said that tweeting is a very expensive hobby for you.
Yes.
Do you think twice before you tweet a joke?
Yeah, and I send them out anyway. It doesn't matter anymore. What jobs do I have to lose now? But I remember when that happened, when Affleck fired me, one guy tweeted me and he said, Affleck fires Gilbert Gottfried after discovering he's a comedian.
Right! I mean, that is your role. And so when something happens, do you feel, when you're pushing the envelope, it's sort of you're turning mainstream on its head. But when the mainstream is expecting you to offend them, does that make you go, I don't want to do it?
Yeah. I find out what tragedies are going on in the world because on the internet, people are tweeting me and sending emails going, hey, how about the joke about, you know, those 10,000 people who just died? And I feel like, no, you're expecting it now.
Right.
That kind of kills it. You're not going to get offended and scream for my death.
So people are always afraid when they come on our show about the game. And when we were talking about your game, now we know that you're an expert at reading erotica from that fantastic 50 Shades of Grey excerpt that you read.
Yes.
It is, so we had to, of course, take advantage of your trademark voice. People, I love hearing the description, so people will say it's grating or obnoxious or screeching, but they forget the most obvious, seductive.
Yes.
So we want to take advantage of those golden pipes in a game about some of history's and literature's best-known couples. So let's welcome our two contestants, Ben Haber and Ginger Haber. Clearly, you are a couple.
We are.
Yes. Yeah. Married.
Married, 10 years.
10 years?
10 years.
Congratulations. Now, you're going to play against each other. What's at stake here?
Oh, everything.
Yeah. What is the winner get, I mean, or the loser?
Well,
have
first
to...
of all, the respect of our children. and, you know, my dignity as the man of the house. But other than that, she's going to give me a whole bunch of stuff that you can't really say on NPR.
That's right. 10 years in, you got to win a quiz, huh? Yes.
It's true.
It's a lot of work.
It's true.
This could bring you together because it's called Passionate Proclamations with Gilbert Gottfried. You know the old saying, the sweetest of all sounds is the voice of the one we love. So he's going to pitch you a little woo, and you have to identify the couples we're portraying. Got it?
Got it.
All right. Take it away, Gilbert.
My darling!
Yes, my love?
Wherever I go, I carry a piece of you with me, like a rib. You're my one and only. Literally, you're the only man around.
Ben.
Adam and Eve?
Yes! Like early Tinder.
My little red-haired firecracker.
Yes, dear.
Ay, ay, ay. The rest of the world may adore you in black and white reruns, but I treasure you live in full color. If you ever leave me or our joint production company, you'll have some splaining to do.
Ben.
Lucy and Desi?
Exactly.
Mi querida.
Si, mi amor.
Our love could fill 1,000 murals. Everything about you excites me. Your paintings, your politics, even your eyebrows and little mustache. Te amo.
Ginger.
Frida Kahlo and Diego.
Exactly. Yes, indeed. And this is your last love woo.
My darling.
Yes, Gilbert Gottfried.
Are you busy later tonight?
We'll talk after the show.
When I got marooned in Africa, meeting a man was the furthest thing from my mind. But then I saw you, my beloved, swinging through the trees in that amazing little loincloth. I went ape.
Ben.
Tarzan and Jane?
Tarzan and Jane. Puzzle guru Greg Pliska, how did our couple do?
Well, I have to say, congratulations, Ben. You're going to win all that stuff that you can't say on the radio.
Nice. Sorry, Ginger.
And whatever that stuff is, you'll be doing it in an Ask Me Another anagrammed t-shirt.
Thank you so much, Ginger.
Thank
and
you.
Ben. And how about a hand for our VIP Gilbert Gottfried?
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, yet I know I will think of you each step of the way. That's exactly how I imagined it would
be. It was unbelievable. That was unbelievable. Now we're going to crown this week's grand champions, so let's bring back the winners from all of our earlier games. From the big score, Max Ash. From the time machine, Daniel Procurero. From Go Johnny Go, Jillian Schrager. From Everything But the Why, Kim Macnick. And from Cultured Film Quotes, Dave Moore. They will be competing in our Ask Me One More final round, so let me turn things over to our puzzle guru, Greg Pliska.
Thank you, Ophira. All right, contestants, we're going to wrap up the show with a game called Wrap It Up. All the answers in this game will feature the letters R-A-P in consecutive order somewhere in the answer. For example, if I said a long-haired lady in fairy tales, you'd answer Rapunzel. I should note that rap will not always be at the beginning of the word. Now, we're playing the spelling bee style, so one wrong answer and you're out. You'll only have a few seconds to give us an answer, and the last person standing will be our Ask Me Another grand winner. Now, before we begin, I should tell you what you're going to win. It's a personalized prize. Our VIP, Gilbert Gottfried, will call you... All right, contestants, are you ready?
Yeah.
Remember, every answer will have the letters R-A-P in consecutive order. All right, here we go. We're starting with Max. A dice-throwing casino game.
Craps.
That is correct. Okay, Daniel. Areas of a river with white water.
Rapids.
Correct. Jillian. A tall building.
Skyscraper.
Correct. Kim, in the end times, when the true believers will ascend to heaven.
The rapture.
Very good. David, the predatory dinosaur made famous by Jurassic Park.
Velociraptor.
Correct. Max, the magazine whose cover features a yellow border.
National Geographic.
That is correct. Daniel, a classic 80s loose leaf binder with folders, pockets, and a Velcro closure.
Trapper Keeper.
That's correct. Jillian, a narrow fencing sword used for thrusting.
Rapier.
That's correct. Kim, a Renaissance artist or a Ninja Turtle.
Raphael.
Yes, correct. David, a University of Maryland athlete or a non-Ninja Turtle? I'm sorry, time's up. Max, do you know this one?
Ninja Tortoise. I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. A University of Maryland athlete or a non-Ninja Turtle?
Terrapin.
That is correct. Daniel is right. Max and David, thank you very much. I'm sorry you're out. We have three players left. All right, and Jillian is up. The world will beat a path to your door if you build a better one.
I don't know.
Okay, thank you. Kim, do you know this one?
A mousetrap.
That is correct. Jillian, thank you very much. We're down to two players, Kim and Daniel. Daniel. Fear of crowds and public places.
Agoraphobia.
Correct. Kim, Scooby-Doo's nephew.
Scrappy-Doo.
Very good. Daniel, monks known for silence and beer. No, I'm sorry.
Raptured time. Monks, no.
Raptured. They're certainly silent once they've been raptured. Kim, do you know this one? Monks known for silence and beer.
Trappist.
That is correct. Congratulations.
Great job. Yes, Kim, congratulations. You're Ask Me Another big winner. And lucky you, our VIP Gilbert Gottfried has agreed to call you. Look forward to that. And that is our show. Thank you for listening.
If you would like to be a contestant, find us on Facebook or Twitter. Just look around for NPR Ask Me Another, and you can be a puzzle player anytime, anyplace by downloading our podcast from iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn. Ask Me Another's puzzle guru is Greg Pliska.
My name anagrams the Sparkle Gig.
Our house musician is Jonathan Coulton.
Thou jolt a cannon.
Filling in for puzzle editor Art Chung is senior puzzle writer Dan Schofield.
Nacho Fiddles.
With additional puzzle writing by Kyle Beakley, Matt Foster, David Israel, and Karen Lurie. Ask Me Another is produced by Jesse Baker.
Jab Seekers.
Josh Rogerson.
Rhinos Jog So.
Eleanor Kagan.
And Orange Lake.
And Jess Miller.
Gel Misers.
Along with Portia Robertson Migas.
Bargain Tortoises Romp.
And Eric Newsom.
Curium Zen.
We are recorded by Damon Whittemore, Kristen Moeller, and David Hurtgen. We'd like to thank our home in Brooklyn, New York, The Bell House.
Hot Heel Blues.
And our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias,
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.
Do you know what I hate? Limits. Do you know what I love? Sharing. Do you know what I really hate? Limits to sharing. Luckily, there's Citrix ShareFile. It's the easy-to-use business solution that allows you to exchange files quickly and securely. And with ShareFile, you can send files of almost any size without bounce backs. Nobody likes bounce backs. Files are encrypted for confidentiality and remain under your control. So for a special 30-day free trial, go to ShareFile.com and click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and enter ASK. That's ShareFile.com. Enter ASK. Do you know what it feels like to hit it big? Creator of Hedvig and the Angry Inch, John Cameron Mitchell does.
I've never been introduced as a Tony winner before. Felt like Patti LuPone.
But can he win the ultimate prize and Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube? I'm Ophira Eisenberg. Find out next time on NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. Hey, you're still here. Thanks again. And just a reminder that I've got a little special request. Why don't you make a contribution to keep the great stories coming to that podcast you love, snapjudgment.org. If you don't know, it's a storytelling podcast with compelling stories. Amazing things happen to these people, and it's with a beat. So check it out. Let's help Snap Judgment keep the stories coming. Make a contribution right now at snapjudgment.org. And thank you.